Of course, we know that the familiar verse in the Bible, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And really, the book of Proverbs is a book about the family. It's a book about the family. It's a book about young people. It's a book about children. It's a book about life. And as we look at the book of Proverbs, we are given a philosophy of the family. We are given a philosophy of raising children. We are given a philosophy of life. And as we think of the beginning of the summer, and young people at home, away from the influence of school, as we think of all the situations of that come about in the summertime, I think it'd be good for us to review in our minds some of these great truths in the Bible about the family, about children, and about life. The book of Proverbs tells us that that young men need some important things in life. And of course, it is the setting of a father teaching a son who is now going to go into life. And it is the principle of the truth that he needs to be able to live successfully in a dangerous world. So we get to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 2. We find a great introduction to the book of Proverbs, the book Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. You know, as we think about what is it that we need in life, what is it that you and I need, what do young people need to be successful in life? And in this passage of Scripture, we have some important words. It says to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity. Judgment. The famous words of the world today. The famous words of the scoffer. The famous words of the emo crowd. Don't judge me. Don't judge. Judge not. Judge not. Well, obviously, they don't know the Bible very well, because the Bible tells us that the book of Proverbs was written for one of the many reasons it was written is so that you and I judge correctly. So you and I can judge correctly. So we do judge. So we do say, no, that's wrong. So we say, yes, that's right. Book of Proverbs is written so we do judge. So we will judge. So we will judge correctly. The person who does not judge correctly will be overtaken by evil. Will be overtaken by the evil man. Will be caught in a destructive world that is ready to destroy our souls. And so we need judgment. We need to teach our children how to judge. The Bible tells us how to judge. The Bible tells us to judge. That's a pretty contradictory message to the world in which we live, isn't it? Exactly opposite. You think about that. That is very important. We talked about the philosophy of the family right here. And then it says some other important words. It says to perceive the words of understanding. Perceive the words of understanding. God not only wants us to recognize what is right and wrong and to judge what is right and wrong, but God wants us to understand life and why certain things, how they function, why certain things result from certain actions. He wants us to understand life. He wants us to understand the direction that everything in life has a direction. You know, that's something that's really missing today. That's something that's really missing today. Is people don't seem to understand that everything in life has a direction. Everything we do can influence us. And the influences around us and the ingredients of life either cause us to go in a certain direction, or we choose to go in a direction. We choose to make decisions that will send us in a particular direction. And the fact is that many people have absolutely no understanding of the direction of life, the direction of things, the direction of issues of life. You know, many churches have no idea what direction they're going, what their church will be in 10 years. Many people have no idea where their life will be in 10 years. They just say, oh, I'm fine. Everybody's going in a direction. Understanding. And, of course, it has some other important words. It has the word, verse number 3, equity. That's a great verse, great truth. You know, equity is a value word. It's a word that tells you, you know, this is equal with this. And this is not equal with this. Equity. What's valuable in the book of Proverbs? Over and over, it says it's better to do this than to do this. It's better to be this than to be this. It talks about what is important in life. You know, that's important. You know, C.T. Studd, many of us have heard the name C.T. Studd. And yet C.T. Studd had a brother. I don't know his name. I don't know his name. I know he had a brother. And his brother was a famous, I believe, rugby player, just like C.T. Studd. And they both had the opportunity to go into, I guess you'd call it, semi-professional sports and have the applause of the world. And C.T. Studd chose to follow Jesus Christ. His brother chose to go into rugby. One choice was a wise choice. The other choice was a foolish choice. They weren't equal. You know, today we have a problem with equity. One young person, they decide, well, you know what? I am going to be best hunter around. And the other person says, well, I'm going to be the best Christian I can be. And the fellow says, well, you know, I'll be Christian too. And at first, you know, you really don't see the difference in the two persons. But long term, there could be a huge difference. And you know, a young person needs to be able to understand that all decisions aren't equal. And they need to understand this whole issue of equity. What is a good decision and what is a bad decision? And what will be the results of this decision? Equity. Now, the book of Proverbs gives us a whole principle of equity. There's some other important words. Verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple. To give subtlety to the simple. Subtlety. Of course, the Bible here talks about discernment, knowing the character of things, understanding the true character of something, understanding what makes a thing tick, what are the real what's the real makeup of this thing? Is the makeup of it evil? Is it dangerous? Is it going to result in something very negative? You know, we have to have discernment today. And you know, the Bible tells us, as we look at these words, it tells us that in our families, this is one of the primary purposes of the family. To give judgment. To give understanding. To have the right value system. To have discernment. Of course, to have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, thank the Lord for the Bible, for God's Word. And thank the Lord for the teaching of God's Word. But why is it important that we have the right philosophy of raising children? Why is it important that we have the right philosophy of life? Well, as you read the book of Proverbs, we're reminded that we only have one chance in life. We only have one chance. In Proverbs chapter 1, it talks about the person who has refused wisdom. Notice these serious words. Verse 24. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Now we thank God that God is merciful and he pities us. But wisdom here is speaking. And wisdom is being personified in as a person. And when a person chooses to go the wrong way, and then their life is destroyed, it's too late. It's too late. It's over. You can't go back and live it over. It's too late. And all the results of foolishness and wrong choices they can't be undone. We can go ahead and go forward and do right and make a change in the future, but we can't change the past. We can never change the past. There's only one life and only one chance. Now, of course, the Bible pictures the fact that we are born with foolishness. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Boy, that's how we're born. That's the direction of life, and has a very sad ending. Now, as you look at the book of Proverbs, it tells us that life is full of destructive forces. Do you believe that? Life is full of destructive forces. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us wait, lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. It's almost laughable. Here they say, you know, there's always somebody out there saying, hey, come on. Hey, come on. Says, hey, we got a great thing going. You know, we're all going to get together. We're going to have this all planned out. And we're going to get this great amount of things. And guess what? When it's all over, we're all going to share it equally. What a lie. These people who are going to steal from someone else, who have no concern about other people and their things and their possessions and their life, they're only selfish. And when they get this great big spoil, they're going to share it? Not a chance. How are selfish people all of a sudden going to be unselfish? That's not going to happen. But it's talking about the destructive forces in life. And the book of Proverbs is all about destructive forces in life. Envy thou not the oppressor. Choose none of his ways. When sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Life is full. The world is full of people, of things, that all are aimed at destroying your life and my life. How could we think that we could just kind of live a life in a neutral, carefree situation, you know, not really being proactive how to deal with these things? So as we think about life, there's some philosophies of living that we see that I think that I would like to talk about tonight. Some philosophies of living. And the first philosophy that I think we like to emphasize tonight is the philosophy of separation from evil. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 8. And how much you believe this and practice this and understand this principle is going to be the key to your children loving God, being moral, being successful, being godly. This is serious stuff. Verse 8. Speaking of the strange woman, remove thy way far from her. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Remove thy way far from her. We have a very important truth here. How much do you believe in separating from evil? How much do you practice separating from evil influence? That's the question. Remove thy way far from her. Of course, this is repeated a number of different places in the Bible, and we'll talk about it a little bit more. But turn to chapter 6 and verse 21. it says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take her with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Now we have this picture. We have the picture of the instruction. We have the picture of the failure of Proverbs chapter 7. It says in verse 6, it says, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and I beheld among the simple ones. Now the simple one is the typical person of life. There are four categories of people in the book of Proverbs. There's the wise man. There's the simple man. There's the foolish man. And there's the scorner. If you were going to go by percentages, just a guesstimate would be, you know, the wise meet people maybe 5 or 10%. The scorner, maybe 5%. The fool, you know, 10 to 15 to 20%. And don't try to add it up. It won't work, probably. And the simple one, about 60%. You know, the simple is, You know, the simple one really is the person who has a lot of air up here. Not much between the ears. We call them airhead. But it's airhead spiritually. And the simple one is one who has not chosen to do right. They may not be the fool who has chosen to do wrong, but they have not chosen to do right. And so here's the simple one. And he says, what about the simple one? I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house. It says that he went near her corner. You know, no problem. It's okay. You know, how much evil, you know, can you tolerate? Coming near her corner is far different from what the Bible says, remove thy foot far from her. There's a huge contrast. It's the principle of, I would call it the principle of innocence and the principle of influence. Now, what's the philosophy of a Christian home? The philosophy of a Christian home is the principle of remove thy foot far from her. It's the principle of removing every possible evil influence that could be. Removing every possible evil influence. Now, I say the word influence purposely. Why? Because evil is not neutral. Evil is never neutral. Evil always influences someone. All you have to do, no matter how godly you are, is to see one flash of a picture that's wrong, and you've been influenced. You have been influenced. Now, a lot of people don't think that way. And their homes aren't run that way. They allow all these influences into their home. And these influences are influencing the home. They're influencing children. They're influencing the adults. They're that home that is supposed to be a refuge from evil is now a place where the children and the parents are influenced for evil. That's not the purpose of the home. The purpose of the home is a place where we are have removed our feet far from evil. And we are naive as parents and lazy sometimes and sinful sometimes to allow evil influences in our home. And we allow them because our children want them, and they are sinners. We allow them because maybe of our own conscience, because we aren't as careful as we ought to be. We allow them because we do not understand life. We don't understand evil in itself. We don't have a biblical philosophy of the home. You know, there's different stages. There is the stage of, I would call it the stage of influence. Or I call it the stage of atmosphere. What is the very atmosphere of the home? It needs to be a positive atmosphere. Now, when can a child handle being in a different atmosphere than that? You know, the new evangelicals, they say, oh, send your kids to public school. You know, let them stand for God in public school. And so what happens? Day in and day out, they hear false philosophies of life that they don't even know are false, and it fills their mind. Every day they see evil, and their righteous soul is vexed, even as Lot, whose righteous soul was vexed in seeing and hearing all the wicked deeds of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what? Their soul is influenced by a negative atmosphere. Because everything has some kind of influence. Now, let's put a different setting. So when is a young person ready to be in indirect contact with the world? When is a child ready to be in indirect contact with the world? When are they ready to work at, let's just say, McDonald's? When are they ready to work in an atmosphere of evil? When are they ready for that? That's an important question. But the question is answered by the first question. What kind of atmosphere is a child supposed to be raised in? A child is to be raised in an atmosphere that is free from the influences of evil. Because they are easily influenced, and evil is powerful, and all evil influences people. So, remove thy way far from her. What about the magazines? What about the videos? What about TV? What about the internet? What about all these influences? Should they be in our home? Or should our home be a place where our children are influenced, come in the atmosphere of evil influences? That has to do with the philosophy of our home. Remove thy way far from her. Children should be raised in an atmosphere free from the influences of evil. So when they're one click away from evil, it's almost like the simple one, isn't it? Who went near her street, near her corner. We have a philosophy of separation. Notice in chapter 6, verse 24. We have this, the atmosphere of a home. And then we have the separation from the difficulty of direct contact with the world. It says, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. What about the words? What about the presence of evil people? Now we're talking about influences, but what about their actual presence? Is that a higher level of influence? What do you think? Yes, it is. I mean, it's bad enough to invite them into your home through the TV or the internet or the magazine or whatever. But now, what about the direct influence of their tongue? What about the direct influence of the aura of their person? Does that have an influence? What do you think? Definitely. And then we have the third level, of course, that we already talked about, the choice. A person makes a choice. Now, I call it an indirect choice when you choose to go somewhere and you're going to, you're at a place of work and you're going to be in contact with evil people. And there's going to be an influence. But then there is the choice of going somewhere where you know there are evil people. Now this is a higher level of influence. You make a choice to go somewhere where there are evil people. You have already taken away the boundary. You have already taken away the wall. You've already let down the guard. So we have levels here of influence. And these are all part of the understanding of the law of separation. separate from the atmosphere of evil. Don't allow your home to have an atmosphere of evil. Don't allow anything in your home that is associated with the influence of evil. Get it out. Then there's the other. It is that contact with evil, that I would call it the indirect contact. Are you aware of that? You know, I get aware of that when I go traveling. Actually, you know that I don't really enjoy traveling. But I sure like being with our missionaries. But you know, I don't like being in airports. And I don't like being in airplanes. And it's not because it's painful to the body to sit on a plane for all those hours. But there's something worse about being in an airplane. Many times you are sitting within inches of people who conduct themselves and are attired in such a way that you would never choose to be around them. And it especially is so, I mean, the last trip I remember going to Hungary by myself, and on these planes, and it was like, oh, boy, I just don't like this atmosphere. And, you know, afterwards, I took kind of a mental note to myself. I says, you know, Ron, some of the things that you are really against, you know, when you're around that, and you got, and this is very acceptable in the world, your guard and your opinion starts diminishing. It's an influence. And it's not chosen influence, a situation. You're there because you're in the world. But it is an influence. But then there's that choice that we choose to go somewhere. We choose to go somewhere we know that there are evil influences. You know, I haven't heard this lately, but, you know, I remember different times hearing a group of young people and they were going to the mall. Say, what can be going wrong with going to the mall? They chose to go to the mall. They chose to put themselves in an atmosphere that was evil. They chose to put themselves in an atmosphere that would influence them in the greatest possible way. Obviously, there was a breakdown in the home because the home did not understand the influence of evil, did not practice separation. Remove thy foot far from her. Come not nigh the steps of her door. Evil influences. This is a very serious issue. And you know, there is not a successful home that does not practice strict separation. And the separation from evil influences. Now, you know, adults will not practice biblical separation in their home if they don't practice it in their own lives. It won't happen. It doesn't happen. If you aren't on the guard yourself, with the cell phone, with the computer, with the internet, with whatever, you're not going to practice it. You're not going to teach it for your children. There's other things we'd like to say, but time is up. But I'd like to at least give us the summary of some of these solutions, some of the principles of the family, separation from evil, separation from evil influence. Now, I like to say this, you know, when our children were young, we were really careful and very concerned about just letting our kids go to unsaved relatives. There's an influence there. There's a real influence. Everything is about influence. The second principle, of course, in the book of Proverbs, it talks about the home and children turning right, is a humble submission to authority. Humble submission to authority. And that's throughout the book of Proverbs. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Attend to no understanding. Of course, that's throughout the book of Proverbs. You know, the man who was unsuccessful in Proverbs chapter 5, and he was overtaken by the strange woman. And you know what he said in verse 12 of Proverbs 5? And said, how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ears to them that instructed me. The person who was unsuccessful in life had a problem with authority. The person who's unsuccessful in life had a problem with his teachers. The person who's unsuccessful in life had a problem with the godly instruction of father and mother. It just says it. That's the truth. The key to success is a humble submission to authority. The key to success is giving yourself to the Word of God. Giving yourself to the Word of God. And we recognize the importance of the influence. We talked about the negative influence, but what about the positive influence? How important is the Word of God in our life? Have you ever noticed the difference in your own life? Now, obviously, we should have our devotions every morning and start off with our day with the Word of God. But you ever notice the difference in your life when the last thing you do at night before you go to bed is read God's Word? In comparison, you know, to being really tired or being really behind the eight ball and life has gotten away and you got to get some sleep and you go right to bed and you don't spend time in God's Word. You ever notice the difference? You know, it's the difference of influence, isn't it? The influence of the Spirit of God. The influence of the Word of God. Proverbs is talking about the importance of influence, God's influence in our life. You know what the job of us parents is, to understand the issue of influence. And, of course, Proverbs chapter 2 talks about putting ourselves in the place that we are influenced so much by the Word of God. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You know, here we have an attitude revealed about our heart, an attitude revealed about the Word of God, a heart revealed, an attitude revealed about our understanding that we need God's Word. That's the key to life. Wise man will hear and increase in learning. The moment that we don't need the Word of God and a lot of it, that's the moment that the wrong influence is dominating our life. The moment we don't sense that we need the Word of God and a lot of it, we have already been dominated by the wrong influence. Give yourself to the Word of God and its influence. They that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. It's a great truth that we all need to really practice in our lives. So we face this summer, Mom and Dad, don't let the guard down. Young person, don't let the guard down. The world and life is full of influences. And those influences aren't neutral. And those influences that are in the world are there to destroy our soul. Take inventory tonight of the influences around you. Are you influenced? Who are you influenced by? What are you influenced by? What are you allowing yourself to be influenced by? Dad? How much influence do the men at work have on your life? And what are you doing about it? You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was 16 when I had my first job away from home on the road crew. I can still remember the words, the rotten words of the men I worked with. It was as though it was yesterday. Now I was unsaved. But that was a huge negative influence in my life. What are you allowing your children to be influenced by? Who are you allowing your children to be influenced by? Do you understand? The issue of influence. You could say, oh, well, you know, they're going to go over their cousins for a few hours. It might be okay, but maybe it won't be okay. They're going to go to so-and-so's house. It might be okay. Maybe it won't be okay. What kind of influence are we allowing in our lives? Remove thy feet far from her. You know, if you practice biblical separation, you may see a huge difference in how you think. You may see a huge difference in how much the Word of God can influence your life. You might see a huge difference in your attitude. Influence. It's all around us. Good or evil? It's all about influence. We need to practice biblical separation because I mentioned, even as I mentioned this morning, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Very few people even know when they're being influenced wrongly. I gave the illustration this morning that we've been on the UWW campus and using a survey to talk to young people about the Lord and spiritual things. And one of the questions on the survey was, has your college education influenced your thinking? Influenced your religious beliefs? What do you think the answer was? Exactly. 99.9% said no. They were influenced and being influenced without knowing they were being influenced. And that is the same for you and I, isn't it? But we only have one life to live. And if we allow the wrong influences in our life, and we allow the wrong influences in our family, without even knowing it, our whole family can be going in the wrong direction. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word tonight and these simple principles. And Lord, I pray that we would be aware of influence. The influence of the TV, the influence of entertainment choices, the influence of the people where we work, the influence of the atmosphere of our work, the influence of our friends, the influence of our relatives. The influence that has taken place in our lives because of our choices that we shouldn't have made. The change that has taken place because we chose to put ourselves in a situation where the world could easily influence our soul. I pray that, Lord, that parents would understand the principle of removing thy feet far from her. Help us, Lord, not to be so naive to think that these things that we allow don't have influence on our children and even on ourselves. And God, I pray that you would forgive us for being so slack in some of these areas. And even now as we close, Lord, might we repent. Might we make choices of separation from evil. Might we make decisions about the fact of how much we must put the Word of God in our life to give us the right thinking. And to give us victory in this battle. Plus, to put within our heart the thinking and the influences that will bend us in your path. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I realize it's a very to the point, simple message. But I wonder, Dad, are there some things that you just need to decide tonight? They're out of our home. They're just gone. Maybe it's a mom. You need to say, you know what? There's just some things that no more playing around with sin. Maybe you're here tonight as a person and you say, you know what? I've been the person who has been playing with sin and my heart has been taken away. And while yet there is time, you need to repent. Confess that Get rid of it. Turn from it. And allow God to work in your life again. It won't happen by being nice about it. You're going to have to take some drastic action. The Lord is speaking to your heart tonight, young person. What about you? Oh, your parents don't know it, what you're doing, but you know, and you know that it's influencing you. Just by uplifted hand, you might come to a point of decision and say, you know what, I have decided by the grace of God tonight to separate from those evil influences in my life. I, as a parent, have decided to get out of our home evil influences. For our children, your children, are precious souls that have been trusted to your account. Say, Pastor, God has spoken my heart by His grace, humbly. I am letting God have His way in my life. I'm going to separate, maybe, and get rid of some things that have influenced me. My children, my life in the wrong way. Just by an uplifted hand, you say, yes, that's exactly what we're going to do. Okay, praise God. All right, good, number of different hands. All right, amen. Individuals, parents, children, adults. Anyone else? Okay, amen. All right, praise the Lord. Amen. Others. Far from her. Remove thyself far from her. Don't play with it. Get rid of it. Get far away from it. Anyone else? God is speaking to your heart. Might be the difference between life and death. Success and failure. Perhaps there's another aspect to this. And you say, you know, I haven't been really serious about how much time I spend in God's Word. The amount of time I spend in the Bible, kind of, the little amount of time I spend in God's Word reveals how little I have a concern to really allow the truth of God's Word to fill me and mold me and make me think godly thoughts. And the other half is separating unto the Lord and to His Word and listening to the Spirit of God. And you say, you know, coupled with this whole issue of separating from evil is the other half, and that's really getting serious about being in God's Word. And the Lord has spoken to you about that other half, about not just dabbling in the Bible, but seriously spending time in God's Word. And the Lord has spoken to you about that is the other half of this. And just by an uplifted hand, say, you know, yep, I'm getting serious about the Word of God in my life. Okay? Amen. Okay, good. All right? Amen. Okay, good. Lord, now thank you for those and what you have done. And we know that these things are significant. Lord, we live in an evil world, and I pray that Lord, in homes and in lives, there will be the freedom, the joy, the peace, liberty that comes when we separate ourselves from evil influences and give ourselves unto the Word of God. Might, Lord, that sense of humility, that hunger, that sense that we really know that we need to spend more time in Your Word, might, Lord, it not just be a passing fancy, but might we calculate, and may even in Your people that come to pass. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.